Welcome to Module 13 of the How to Write a Book in 30 Days coaching course, Front Matter and Back Matter. Front Matter and Back Matter describe some elements included in the book, either in the front of the book before the main body or in the back of the book after the main body. Front and back matter serve to introduce the book, organize or frame it for the reader, acknowledge those who have been helpful or meaningful to the author, or to tell the reader a little bit more about the author. Unless you're self-publishing, your publisher will provide some of these items. In this lesson, we'll learn what should be included and where it should go. Front matter for you. Front matter that you should be responsible for include endorsements. This is an important one that's often overlooked. That's probably because asking for endorsements before your book is published can be a little scary. Once you have a clean manuscript, ask a few friends or colleagues to review it for endorsement. Ask them to be honest and let them know that you plan to include their endorsement in the book. Somewhere between 3 and 8 endorsements is fine. The foreword, and that's forward, F-O-R-E-W-O-R-D. It's the word before the book, not forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D. I see this all the time in self-published books and books that just haven't been published well, is they use the wrong word for forward. So we covered this in our last section, and so it's important enough to be a lesson of its own, and it's module 12 in the course. The preface. The preface is like a foreword, but it's usually shorter and a little more personal. You may want to tell your reader why you chose to write the book, or how some event or person in your life precipitated the idea behind the book. Then there's the dedication. This is where you dedicate the book to someone special. This may be a spouse, a parent or parents, or a mentor. A dedication is usually to a single person or maybe a few, like your parents or children. Your dedication is specific. Acknowledgements. This is where you express gratitude to people or organizations who contributed to the creation of the book. Maybe your editor, or if you're a pastor, the people in your church, and anyone or any group that may have played a role in making the book possible. You can include as many people as you like in the acknowledgement section. Some authors have even been thoughtful enough to include their publisher. Then there's the epigraph. This is kind of an unusual one. An epigraph is usually a quote or a poem that you find meaningful in the context of what you've written. It's completely optional, but some authors include an epigraph to help set the emotional or the philosophical or the spiritual tone in the book. Now the front matter that your publisher is going to take care of. Unless you're self-publishing your book, your publisher should create and include these pieces. Note, if your publisher doesn't include this as their responsibility, find a new publisher. The title page. This page typically contains the book's title and subtitle, the author's name, and sometimes the publisher's name or logo. We like to design the title page in the same font as the book's front cover and often add a grayscale image from the front cover. The title page creates the transition from the book's cover to its interior. The copyright page. This includes your copyright information such as the copyright notice, publication date, edition information, the ISBN, which is the International Standard Book Number, your Library of Congress catalog number, and information about permissions, disclaimers, and credits. Your table of contents. This is a list of the book's chapters or sections along with their page numbers. Professional layout software, the program publishers use to move the manuscript format to the interior book format, will automatically generate the table of contents. The reason for this is that your manuscript pages are usually standard 8.5 by 11, and your book's pages are usually 6 by 9 or a size other than 8.5 by 11. There will be fewer words per page on a smaller page. Your text flows from one page to the next, so if chapter 3 is on page 56 of your manuscript, it may be on page 71 in your book. If you're self-publishing and not using software that automatically assigns table of contents page numbers, be sure that the chapter pages listed in the table of contents actually match those pages in the book. Let's talk about your back matter. Your back matter typically includes an author bio and headshot. This page offers a brief biography of the author, focusing on why the author may be qualified to write this book. The latter part of the bio usually includes a little personal history or information like quote, the author lives in Boston with his wife and dog, unquote, etc. If you mention children or grandchildren, don't give their ages. They won't be that age next year. Right under the bio, add how and where readers can contact you or learn more about you, your website, your social media profiles, etc. I like to offer a little something extra, like a link to a short video or an extra chapter to increase the value for the reader. Occasionally, you may see an author's headshot and short bio on the book's back cover. My rule is that unless it's going to sell more books, keep the author bio and the headshot inside the book. An appendix is additional information or supplementary material related to the content of the book. It often includes charts or tables or extended explanations. More scholarly type books usually have an appendix. If the content of the book doesn't require an appendix, there's no reason to have one. Endnotes are explanatory or supplementary notes referenced within the main text. If you have only a few footnotes, it's fine to add them as footnotes on the same page as the text. If you have a lot of footnotes, it's better to have them at the end of the book, where they won't interrupt the flow of the book for those not interested in every note or reference. Some authors or publishers place endnotes at the end of each chapter. Personally, I think it looks clumsy and it interrupts the flow between chapters. Here's another Steve rule. Anything that interrupts the flow of the book for the reader is a sin. Please try to avoid getting in the reader's way if they're really enjoying your book. The glossary is a list of terms and their definitions that you have used in the text that the reader may not be familiar with. Again, you generally see glossaries in more scholarly books or books that cover a lot of ground that may be unfamiliar to the reader. The bibliography is a list of sources consulted or referenced by the author, often arranged alphabetically or by category. A bibliography is kind of old school. Unless your book is scholarly or your research has covered a lot of other books or traditional print resources like magazines or newspapers, this kind of information is easily handled in the footnotes or endnotes. And an index is an alphabetical listing of topics, names, or concepts mentioned in the book, along with the page numbers where they can be found in the text. Again, usually more scholarly, technical, or historical. This may be useful in some big nonfiction print books. I've published several big books where indices were important. Indices, by the way, is the plural form of index, but most people are fine with just saying indexes. Indices or indexes are useless in ebooks due to the search function in an ebook. So where do all these matters go in the book? Here's a generally accepted list of where to put your front matter and your back matter. Front matter, endorsements go on the first page inside the front cover. The title page goes on the first right-hand page after the endorsements. The copyright page goes on the left-hand page right after the title page. The dedication, which is optional, goes on the right-hand page opposite the copyright page. The epigraph is also optional. This can go on the left-hand or the right-hand page after the dedication. The table of contents goes on the right-hand page after the epigraph, if you have one. The foreword is also optional. A lot of people use them. That goes on the right-hand page after the table of contents. The preface goes on the right-hand page after the foreword. And the acknowledgments go on the right-hand page after the preface. By the way, it's okay to have blank left-handed pages between the elements and the front matter, just so that placement can be right. Let's talk about back matter. Here's the order the back matter should be in. Number one, the appendix or appendices. Number two, the notes or endnotes. Number three, the glossary. Number four, the bibliography or the references. Number five, the index. And number six, the author bio. And this order is generally accepted, but it can vary depending on the type of book, or the publisher's style, or the author's preferences. Now let's talk about homework. Number one, endorsements. Create a list of 10 to 12 friends or colleagues who might be willing to endorse your book. Ask them ahead of time if they'd be willing to look at your manuscript with the option of endorsing the book. When your manuscript is finished, or even semi-finished, and presentable, check and correct your spelling, grammar, wording, etc. Send them a copy with a nice, friendly, grateful note asking them to review, and give them a reasonable target date to send you an endorsement if they think the manuscript deserves one. Number two, your acknowledgement. Begin writing down all the people and organizations who were important to the creation of this book. Remember those who gave time, attention, and money to the project. Also remember those who had to give up time with you or make sacrifices so you could spend more time on your book. Number three, your bio and headshot. Write a short author bio that will relate to your reader. They want to know about your qualifications regarding the book and maybe a little personal info. Not too much personal info. Unless your book is about trains, there's no need to mention your train collection. Your headshot should be a headshot, not a photo of you water skiing. It doesn't have to be a formal suit and tie studio shot, just something friendly, and no mug shots. Our next module is putting it all together.